Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where we just get a couple artists together and we just shoot the shit for a little bit. You can find the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so go ahead and hit that 5 stars and bump us up on the algorithm so more of y'all can hear the conversation. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young man comes through in Atlanta. You need a top producer. He's the one for you. Very chill spirit, but he's definitely going to put out some fire. Give a warm welcome to the homie Libby V. What's going on, bro?
Not much. How is everyone doing today?
Oh, man. Everyone's good. They're good. We're good. And we all good here.
Awesome.
I appreciate you coming through on the show, man. Before we get started, you know, tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
So I go by Libby V. I'm 29, approaching the big 30. I've been doing this for about 10 or so years. And, yeah, you know, just a guy doing what he loves, and my passion is music. So that's all I've been doing.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Sticking to the passion and making sure that people really hear your sound, but at the same time, just doing it because you have the love of doing it. I love that, man. That's very inspirational for sure. It's crazy. I met your business partner, Dainty, maybe like a month or so ago, like maybe late May, early June, and she told me about you. We were all just hanging out with a mutual friend of mine and a friend of hers, and she was like, oh, you know, I know his name is Libby V, he's my business partner, he might be dope for you to have on the show. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? And so then I got a chance to look at some of the stuff that you have, and I was like, oh, this might be pretty dope. So we had our meeting went very well, and now you're here today, man. So again, I'm highly appreciative for you taking the time to speak to me.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Oh, man, no problem at all, bro. No problem at all. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with you when it comes to the beginning, the genesis of Libby V. I know that, yeah, you already know. So it's like, I know for me in photography, it started in high school and it was like a blessing in disguise. I was in a photography class and I believe we spoke on it briefly in our meeting. But I was in a photography class, long story short, wasn't really feeling it in the beginning, but then had a photo project, took a photo, and people liked it. And then, like, something just kind of woke up in me. Do you feel like you have that same type of beginning, or was it just always awakened in you as far as music?
I had a similar beginning. I started, like, learning how to play piano. And when I was, like, 5, 6 years old, I was watching my dad play. And I just always found it interesting. And I think I was like 8 or 9. I started taking piano lessons. And then I quit like 3 months after because I was like, this is boring. I just didn't understand. I was like, this is so boring. So after I did that, I had a good enough knowledge of how to play. So I started playing for like weddings and whatnot. And in high school, it was me and 2 other friends that got together, and they were like, let's make some music. I was like, sure, I'm down. So we downloaded like this free program off the internet and whatnot, and we started recording. So I didn't even start producing yet. So we figured out how to record on a very basic program, and we just did it for fun. And then I remember I downloaded this program called FL Studio to attempt to produce. I downloaded it, used it for 3 days straight, and then I deleted it. That one program confused the hell out of me. Didn't understand it, so I gave up right then and there. Oh, man. Fast forward a few years after that, I was playing on a keyboard at Guitar Center, and this other producer walks in there while I'm playing, and then he heard me play. And then, like, we started vibing and jamming out. And then when it was time to leave, he was like, yo, come by this studio tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So I was like, okay. So I went to the studio, and it was at Patchwork Studio, the number one studio in Atlanta. Hey. And that was my first ever, like, experience being in the studio. So I was just in shock. Like, everything was red carpet, you know, like, everything was clean. Everything looked very professional and whatnot. So I did that for a while, and I played keys for other producers, and eventually it sparked my interest in learning how to produce again.
Now that's dope. That's a cool origin story where it's like you have it in you and it kind of like started and then you kind of hit a roadblock with that program to where you were like, all right, this is a little too much. And then fate has it that you're with like-minded people who really gave you that start in Guitar Center.
Exactly.
That's so dope. I remember not playing, I'm sorry, because I would sing when I was a kid, but like my love really got into photography in high school. And I remember like getting behind the camera and learning about it and learning. And I didn't use Photoshop. I had access to it, had a homie who gave me a key, and I didn't use it for like 2 years almost. And because, like, just like you, I went into it and I didn't even know where to start. I was like, what is this? So I started using Lightroom because Lightroom was the easiest, it was the most accessible. And then I got challenged later on to do it. So I definitely feel your pain when it comes to like getting a program. You're just like, I don't know what to do with this. What?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good. So, when it comes to the music, like I said, you definitely were surrounded by really good and like-minded people to get you started. Do you feel like they were some of your inspirations to really move forward, or did you have inspirations prior to them?
Prior to them, I had a few inspirations prior to them, but they also influenced me in a way as well. Prior to them, I remember I was 10 years old. I was 10 years old. I was watching MTV Cribs, and I saw this gentleman that goes by the name of Scott Storch, multi-platinum producer, Grammy Award-winning producer. And I was like, wow, this guy has all of this, and he does what he loves. And I told myself that day, I was like, if I can figure out what I love to do and make a living the way he makes a living, I'll be content to be I'll be happy. And from that day on, I always like listened to like some of the stuff he worked on and produced, and I started dissecting like his production.
So,
And yeah.
with Scott Storch, I remember hearing his name as a kid, Scott Storch. And I guess for me, and like not being in producing, you would just hear that name, you knew you were going to hear some fire.
Exactly. This dude had hits for like a whole decade and a half.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And he's definitely a revered name in the game. And that's really dope that you had that inspiration. Did you feel like you were going to hear your name like that as like that sound bite for your music as well? Did you already have that planned out as soon as you started following his music?
For me, I wanted people to be able to hear my music and to know that I produced it without me having to slap a tag on it, per se. I do have tags on certain tracks, but on certain ones that doesn't necessarily need it, because I feel like sometimes the tag takes away from the feeling of the music.
Okay, I can agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty dope too because it's like you can hear Scott Storch or shoot DJ Drama, anybody, and then but for you it's like you hear that sound like Timberland,
Yeah.
for example. You hear his sound and you know it's him.
Exactly.
I feel that. I can respect that for sure. Speaking of sound, I know just like Timberland or anyone else, they always have like this signature sound. How would you describe your sound as an artist?
My sound as an artist. So every time I've gotten asked the question, like, what's my sound? What's my genre? My answer would be, I'm a sonic of design. Like, I'm a designer of sonic landscapes. Like, I don't fit myself in a box. I always leave it open, and I always am open to like working on different genres, mixing different genres. But at the end of the day, the final product is gonna sound like me.
So you're just putting the pieces together, and in the end, it's gonna be you. Like you're
Exactly.
basically the artist with the paintbrush.
Yes.
Okay. So it's interesting that you say that too, because when it comes to asking like my style for photography, I would tell people like I love simplicity. Simplicity speaks volumes, and you've seen my work, so you kind of get
Yeah.
what I mean by that. So, but to say that, and what did you say, Sonic? What was it again?
A designer of sonic landscapes.
A designer of sonic landscapes. First of all, goosebumps. Okay,
Yes.
when you hear that, you're like, whoa, hold on. this man got something. And that's pretty dope. I've never heard that before when it comes to music or anyone who produces. So that's definitely that sets you apart just by just saying that's what your style is. And then you give someone like me high like anticipation to really hear what you have to put out. So that's really dope.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, it's no problem, man. You know, it's all love here. You on the show for appreciation. That's why I gotta appreciate it, man. Give credit to where it's due. So going back into your sound and how you describe it, what is more of your like development process? Where I know some people would take just everyday sounds and like put things together and just find that rhythm. For you, what would you say would be your process into getting that sound that you want for your project?
For me, when I usually start a song, I start with like the chords because I want it to melodically feel right, and then after that I would do the drums and then the bass / 808s after that to give it the bounce. And that's something I've incorporated in basically everything I've done. Like even when I worked on country music, I same process, like I figured out the guitars melodically, then I added the drums, gave it like an Atlanta feel. And then I added some 808s to give it the extra Atlanta feel to the whole country vibe that I worked on.
Okay. So I'm a big fan of 808s. I'm definitely a person that people will look at me and I'll get goosebumps when I hear really good music, especially like really good bass. Like 808s where music is thumping and I feel like I'm trapped in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I love that feel. Do you feel like... when it comes to your music, you want people to kind of feel that way to really get lost in your sound?
Yes.
Got you. So I must say, I know that some people have some rituals as well when it comes to doing their creative process. Some people need it to be really quiet. Some people need it to be crazy. Some people need to be in like the craziest place ever to get inspiration. Do you feel like that you have to really bring yourself out of yourself in order to get that inspiration? Like I need to take a walk down the street right quick and get out of my element, or do you find it all within the studio?
For me, I find it all within the studio and like with the producers that I work with that are on my team that have been with me for like the past 8-10 years. They know my workflow is like crazy, because I'll think of a melody and I'll hum it to them right away, or I'll play for them right away, and like people gotta just like really catch on to it, you know?
Yeah,
because I work so fast sometimes. I think way too fast, like even ahead of what I'm working on. Like I hear the whole song in my head before it's even like finished.
So you have it pretty much mapped out.
Yeah.
I can imagine that somebody can trip themselves up because it's like, oh, wait, oh, I forgot. I got to do this part first and then get to this part. I'm so ready to get to the end to hear what this sounds like. Like, am I describing that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now that's exciting, man. I love that because, one, I can definitely feel the passion when it comes to your creative process, to where you're already going to the next step in order to get to the end result. But at the same time, the way you describe your sound, you care about it so much that you want to make sure every part is finished. So you're not going to skip a beat.
Yes.
No pun intended. Because, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So with creating your music, I know that there are some challenging aspects when it comes to just being a creative in general. I know that sometimes we can get these mental blocks, or sometimes we just can't hear the sound that we need, or even as a photographer, sometimes I feel like I have a vision, but I just cannot illustrate it the way I want to. So I kind of feel stuck and have to kind of take myself out of it and get inspiration again. In your experience, what type of challenges have you really faced as a producer or just a master of music really? And how have you overcome some of those challenges?
For me, some of the challenges I faced was learning the business in the beginning, because I thought this was just, you know, you make your music, you release it, and you make a living off of it. But I figured out, you know, that's not the case. There's a lot more that goes into this than just pressing a few buttons, recording someone's vocals, and putting it out on the internet. So I had to learn the whole business side of things when it came to the music business, because, my manager told me, Ian Burke, he was like, 10% of this whole industry is music. 90% of it is the business part. And if you don't have the business figured out, you're not going to be moving. So business-wise, that was one of my challenges in the beginning. But going back to what you said, sometimes I do get producer's block or writer's block. And what I tend to do to overcome those obstacles is I just pull myself out the studio. So in the past, I tried to, like, if I was stuck on something, I would try to finish it or force myself to finish it, and I could never finish it. So for me, if I feel like I'm stuck on something, I either move on to something else and come back to it later, or I just completely take myself out of the studio, go do something else, clear my mind, and then come back to it later on.
I feel that there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you do have to pull yourself out of your own element. What are some of the things that you say that you would do that would help you get back into the flow?
Just traveling, like just doing stuff that I love to do, like travel, go out to eat, go hang out with friends, and talk to them, figure out their stories, what kind of, what kind of things they're going through in their life. And then sometimes I actually, when I come back to the studio, I start writing about those topics, about like what they're going through, because if they're going through it, another person is going through it.
Sure. All right. So the next time you have that, what's going to need to happen is you call me because I'm always down to meet up and we'll go to like Delia's chicken and sausage stand. And then we'll just kind of like, talk about experiences and hopefully that will give you some inspiration. But like, you know what? This might work. It kind of pulled me out of my funk. I know I'm just throwing out suggestions. I'm just
I'm
throwing out
down with
suggestions.
that. I'm down with
There
that.
it
And then a
is.
month later, you're gonna hear a song on the radio, and you'll be like, "Wait,
Right, like I just talked to him about that at Delia's. Hey, you know what? Getting that
that
recognition. No, man, for sure. I'm definitely down, man. And it's cool that you're able to find yourself in other people's experiences. I actually had to learn that myself. I think it was about year three of photography, and I hit this brick wall where my priorities kind of shifted out of the love for what I do. And it was hard to kind of get back there. So I decided to start hanging out with other types of artists. I would go to art shows where it's not just photography. I get to hear people putting out their music on stage. I got to see sculptors. I got to see painters. I got to see illustrators. And I got to really absorb a lot of those different creative avenues in order to, I guess, energize my inner creative. Outside of just always trying to figure out where the next dollar was going to come from, how can I push this to do this full time? I'm tired of my job. I was just like, let me just focus on the art of it. And from there, it actually helped me and inspired me to get back into my flow because I remember where my roots were in the craft. You know what I mean? So I was able to just, hey, I'm just going to go shoot. I'm going to go shoot. I'm not going to put any pressure on it. And from there, I was able to really put out really good content for myself, but also feel more energized to work with other clients. And with that in mind, do you feel like sometimes you have to like create music on the side and like really absorb that or like listen to other types of music in order to get back in your flow as well? I know you say you like to go out to eat, go and travel, but is that a part of your process as well?
Sometimes it depends on the situation. For me, I try not to listen to too much music, which is kind of odd because, I'm in the music business. But for me to listen to music that's like hot right now, it kind of it influences what I do. And what I have to keep in mind as a producer is that if it's out right now, they worked on that song probably like 2, 3 years ago. So if I do what is out right now, I'm behind.
Interesting. Interesting. It's almost like technology.
Yes.
Okay. So I never thought about that to where, because you forget, or maybe you just don't know that's like a hot song that comes out and that really gains traction. They could have done years ago, and it finally got the love it deserved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty dope. That's interesting to think about. People, when you hear your favorite song, think about how much time it really took to put into work for that song, and also how long it took them to push it to really get to where it is. Just keep in mind that. And I think that I can have more appreciation for artists like you when it comes to hearing your music now and thinking back after this conversation. It's like, oh, he probably worked on that for a minute. So I can definitely, definitely feel more of the song and appreciate the song a lot more because of how much work that possibly went into it. Now, going into the work, the producer, you had to put in the work, you had to garner the skill set, and you had to make that big push to make this a reality for you, especially full time. What was that process like from transitioning to, you know, I'm really going into it and I really want to be that guy. I have these inspirations to, I am this producer and this is what I'm doing for a living. What was that transition like for you?
For me, I knew that going into this business, I had very little to no connections at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anyone that was a part of this. So I thought to myself, like, how can I get my feet in the door at least so they can at least see who I am, hear my work for themselves. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Art Institute to get my degree in audio engineering, and that got me in the door because I got so good at engineering that I was able to walk in any room and engineer any clients. Oh, so wow. That was my breakthrough moment. Was I knew if I was really good at one thing that they needed, then I'm able to provide my other services like production. So for me, when I first started out, I did produce a little bit, but then I went to school. I learned more about audio engineering, and then I started recording, mixing, and mastering for a lot of clients. And then eventually, I showed them some of my beats, and they got all my beats. And long story short, they released it. So that was my breakthrough moment.
Oh no, that's dope, especially coming right out of school to get your foot in the door and pretty much showing, like, leveraging that opportunity to show them, hey, this is what I can do. Do you feel a lot of pressure with your first client? Like, how was that experience for you to really, like, okay, this is my very first client that I'm working with. I gotta, like, really show out for this person and let them know who I am. What was that experience like for you?
I have a great story for that question. So
yes.
My second internship, it was at Icon Studios. I remember it was training day, so I didn't know what they were gonna do. So when I was supposed to come in, so when I came in, the people that were supposed to train me were goofing around. They were like, "Yo, just sit at the desk." I was like, "Okay." So what am I supposed to do here? They were like, "Just answer calls, push the door open, and let people in, let them sign in." I was like, "Well, that's all I do?"
Mm-hmm.
So 5 minutes into sitting in the front seat at the counter, I get a call down, and this guy's like, "Can someone get me a Pepsi?" And I looked around at the three other people that were supposed to train me, and they all stared at me. They were like, "Go get him a Pepsi." So I was like, "Okay." So I go grab a Pepsi. I go upstairs. It was the C room upstairs at Icon, and I walk in, and Mace was sitting there. And my current manager, Ian Burke, was also in the room. Mm. But at the time, he wasn't managing me yet. But so I gave him the Pepsi, and he looked at me. Mace looked at me. It was like, "You must be new here." I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, how good are you at engineering?" I was like, I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty good at what I do." But in my head, I just started learning all this stuff. But I talked myself up so much. And then he was like, "You sure you're good?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm the best." And he was like, "You better be good, because everyone else that I had come through here, I fired all of them already."
Oh, wow.
So I was like, "Oh, shit." So I left the room, went back down, sat at the front desk. And a minute later, Ian, my current manager now, comes running down. And he was like, "Mace wants you upstairs." So from training day, 3 years later, I engineer him for like every single day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So Yeah, you that was definitely a blessing to be put in that position, because you were literally just sitting there, and you said they were goofing off, right? Just like, just sit here, just do what you need to do, and go get that man a Pepsi. And you getting that man a Pepsi and being able to sell yourself in that way, knowing in the back of your head you were like, it's now or never.
Exactly. I was like, it's either I sell myself now or I'm sitting at that front desk for the rest of my life.
Oh, man. And you definitely made the right choice, because now he's – I'm mad he said, I fire everybody.
I fire everybody else. Until this day, he still calls my phone. He's like, yo, I need you in the studio. I need you to come engineer this song. Like, I need your touch on this song. That's how I know it's going to be a hit. So we still work till this day.
That's not bad. That is not bad at all. So you pretty much made like this ultimate connection off getting someone a Pepsi, and then he just saw something. He was like, "What, can you do this?" And you was like, "Hell yeah, yeah." I love that. Because I mean, not many people would be able to back that up. And I remember in our first conversation, you said you have a lot of people in this business who will pretty much talk to talk, but then when it's time to produce, they won't be able to. So of course, you set yourself apart, letting them know that you can do it, and then you did it very, very well for him to still call you today.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to those in those positions, would that be your advice? Always get the Pepsi and always sell yourself.
Of course, like for me, I always tell people, like, if there's an opportunity, take it. Even if you're not ready for it, take it. Be ready. Get ready. If you ain't ready, you better learn that really quick.
Nah, I feel that. I feel that. Oh man, that's crazy. I know I've had some moments in my photography journey where I was like nervous to shoot something, but nothing like that. I don't think I have any stories that would be, hey, this famous person was in here and he asked if I could shoot. Nah, I need a story like that. I definitely need one. I need to get on that level there. That's not bad, man. Would you say that he's one of your favorite artists that you've worked with, or do you have like a couple favorites?
I have a couple favorites that I work with that I still continue to work with.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? So who would those be, if you don't mind? You don't mind asking. Who's some of your favorite artists?
One group I'm working with right now, they go by the Yes Ma'ams. The music we're working on is different from what I've been working on in the past. They've opened a door for me to experiment in a genre where I haven't even touched before. So I love it when people challenge me and make me learn new things, at the same time making it sound great, you know?
Yeah.
And one of my other favorite clients is Lil Donald. We just went platinum recently with the song that we recorded together, Do Better.
Congratulations on that, man. How did you feel? I believe I saw that post yesterday, and I was like, I can only imagine how he feels like going platinum and seeing his name on there. Because the song came out in 2020 or 2021, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And I saw it went gold at one point in 2020, and then now it's 2022 and it's gone platinum. Is that your first platinum track?
Yes, officially, yes.
How did that feel when you saw your name and platinum?
It felt great, like, to know that I was a part of that project itself. Because when we were recording in the past, we didn't know that song was gonna be a hit. Because I just remember we were working, and I was like, let's try something different. Like, we've been doing all this street rap for the past 3, 4, 5 months. We got 200 songs about the streets. Let's do something for the ladies and see if it, you know, if it goes. So that was the one random song we did that was super left field from everything he did of the catalog we built at the time. At that time, we had, like, a total of, like, 300 songs done.
Sheesh.
And that was the one song that he decided to release, and it just blew up.
Oh, that's dope. It's always the ones you least expect, and it's always the ones that you, like, kind of step out of your realm, and then it catches people way, way more than you think it would.
Yeah.
I feel that. Well, I definitely, again, congratulations on that accomplishment. Thank you. Other type of accomplishments have you done or received since you've started in your journey as a producer?
So, with working with this one fellow named Blanco Brown, I met him at my first internship, like, when was this? Like 8 years ago, 9 years ago? At the time, he was writing for a big producer, and I was just an intern, and we connected, for a short amount of time. Fast forward like 3, 4 years later, I saw on his Instagram he was still working on music. So I reached out to him. I was like, "Hey, I see that you've been working on music. I remember meeting you here, and I would love to connect with you again to see what we can come up with, because I need writers." So we linked up. 2 years later, 2 years later, working with him, I had this other artist, this little white girl, that we were gonna make country music for. So I brought her to him, and we started working on these songs. And I was like, "How can we make this country but different?" Because at the time, like urban and country, they didn't mix that yet. It was just like it was like either country or like country pop. So I was like, "Let's spice it up a little bit. Let's give it a little Atlanta." So we did all these demos for her, which she didn't take. And 4 years after those records were done, that Blanco cut, but she didn't take. Around that time, Lil Nas X came out with that one song, and then we dropped the whole project, and then that whole project took off.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was
That's
just timing. And we had that
yeah.
song on a hard drive for like 4 years.
Just waiting. Oh, that's
Just
dope.
waiting.
That's dope. I know like y'all were like, we finally got it. Go ahead and drop it now. Is that like how it was?
Yeah, and then like I think within that year, we got awarded he got awarded as number one top new country artist on Billboards.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy how that works. So, dang, that's wild. Because now I'm thinking about it. Back then, you really didn't hear anything like that. And then Lil Nas X comes out and then it blows up. So, did y'all, well, let me ask you this. Did you guys kind of see that coming as he was coming up? Or did it kind of happen out of nowhere? And then you just guys basically just pushed the button, like, okay, here's the time. Let's do it now. Like, how was that?
It just happened out of nowhere. Like we heard Lil Nas X song, and we were like, "This is the perfect timing. Like if God gave us a sign, this is the sign right here. Like we gotta release that song now." So we released the song, and then like there were like hundreds of TikToker like big influencers like dancing to the song, and it just like took off as it and he was independent at this time, and it just took off. But it got so big to the point he got signed to the biggest label, biggest country label in the US. And yeah, this guy is like doing great right now. He's on tour. We're working on his next album right now.
Oh man, that's dope. And then it's even crazier because like you say y'all were cool and then you reach back out and then people don't realize sometimes like just having though like just good rapport with people, you never know where it could come from the long term. You know what I'm saying? Or in the long
Exactly.
term. So it's good that you were able to keep that connection and then from there it transpired to something even better and greater and you guys are still working together. That's awesome. So with that comes with like good collaboration and teamwork. And I know in any type of creative business, especially you are of really creative ventures, when you are working on your own, you kind of have your own feel, you do your own thing, but sometimes we do need those people on our team, good people that will definitely help us strive even more and we all eat together. Give me like your take on the team atmosphere as a producer and the people that you work with.
With the people I work with, I'm very picky about who I choose to work with because I have a very high standard.
Sure.
But at the same time, the people I do choose to work with in the long run, that are part of my team, they're family to me at the end of the day.
Okay. So their family, when it comes to the family aspect, I mean, I'm talking about when that job comes up, it's like, all right, you get on the phone, everybody, we're about to meet up. Let's go ahead and make it work. And then after that, get something to eat afterwards, kind of family.
Yes.
Gotcha, gotcha. I love that. I know in shooting with a few people, we will always, well, at least not everyone, but one photographer in particular, my boy Lennox, shout out to him. I had him on the show before. He would always bring me to a new place I never ate before. And that was like my first time really having that sense of family when it came to artists coming together and collabing on projects. So it's really dope to hear that even with your team, you feel like that you can do that with the people that you work with. And it's also dope to see that you have a high standard because I mean, it shows in your sound from what I've listened to that you definitely don't really skip a beat. Another pun, y'all got it. When it comes to your workflow, so I can only imagine that your team has to be in tip-top shape and ready to go as well.
Yeah.
So let me ask this: when it came to picking your team, like, what did you see in some of your teammates in order to know that you had a solid team?
So the characteristics that I wanted in my team members is that they have the same or similar qualities that I have, like the same interest, the same passion, the love, the workflow, the loyalty, just doing good business in general, like people that don't have any bad reputations, you know, on their name.
Okay, got you. And with that, would you ever work with someone who is like very, very green, or would they need to have a good amount of experience or tangible experience that you can kind of pull from and be like, okay, you're the one?
I always work with, I'm always open to like working with new artists, and I do work with new artists here and there. And when they come about, I try to help them out by linking them up with, like, if they need like vocal lessons, I link them up with the person that I would recommend, you know, for vocal lessons. If they're rapping and they're writing too much, or they're just freestyling and there's no structure, I try to invite them to a session where there's a seasoned rapper or a writer that they can shadow, basically, and learn from them.
Got you. Okay. So when setting up those sessions, I'm guessing, say I'm a rapper and I'm coming in, I'm like, hey, check out my bars, and you say, hey, you write too much, come in and listen to this rapper here who's a little more seasoned. Is it pretty much like cutthroat when you say, hey, you're writing too much, come on? Or how is your criticism provided to those who are new to the game?
So most of the time I would, like, you know, let them record their songs, and then, you know, let them come out the booth and we listen to it, and I try to see where their mindset is at and how they structure the song. And then I compare it to something else that's kind of similar along their lane of music.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Since we're writing so much, how can we simplify just this section down and this section down to make it sound like a hook, at least a hook, something that people can chant with you or rap with you when you perform the song? Like, you're rapping too much to the point where I'm not retaining anything at all.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Never so I give them like specific little examples to help improve what they already have.
Got you. Okay. I love that. So you really take the time to really break down their craft and really structure it in a way that would help them possibly succeed.
Yes.
Got you. Okay, cool. Because I know there are some mentors or there are some people in the game, whatever artistry you're in, that are kind of like let you sink or swim. And I mean, I kind of had that behind the camera and sort of didn't. I guess I was kind of in the middle. So to know that you really sit down with the people that you choose to work with is really dope, because it, I mean, you both win in the end with that.
Exactly.
All right, got you. And also with that, bring your team together to create like a dope sound, like a dope song, for example, in order to go platinum. Tell me like one of your favorite songs that you've ever worked on, in order to really, you know, I guess when the creative juices were really flowing, when everything was really going, when you really got lost in your craft, what was that one song, if you do have one or a few songs, that made you really feel like that, where you got completely lost?
I have this whole little collection of songs that I had that moment with, but at the moment they're not released as of yet. Hopefully we can find an artist that can recut the records and roll it out correctly.
Understood. Well, I mean, I can audition. It's fine. You know, okay. I'm multifaceted, so don't hurt my feelings too much, but I'm there.
I got you. I'll throw on a little auto-tune, little reverb, give you little effects.
I love it. We work together. See, people, I'm telling you, you're hearing it first. You're going to hear this new track from me, be like, go back to your podcast. But at least I tried. Nah, I appreciate it. So, and I meant to ask you this earlier because I was thinking about it because you said that you pretty much open yourself up to different type of sounds, but do you have a favorite type of sound or music that you truly enjoy?
So for me, my go-to is always R&B,
Okay.
but what I've learned in this industry, especially in Atlanta, there's not a market for that, like not a big market for that, per
Sure.
se. So I learned how to produce in like different genres to basically get into the market that's here.
Sure. All right, I feel that because I mean R&B in Atlanta. I mean we have some that really came out of here. You know, Usher, TLC, and whatnot.
Yeah.
Even if you think about Jagged Edge had it run. So I would think that yeah, you don't hear it as much now unless it's pretty much underground. Do you feel like that R&B or that type of music, that type of sound will have a resurgence at some point here in Atlanta?
Definitely. Like for me, what I've learned studying the history of music, there's it's always in a cycle. Like it's always gonna cycle back around.
Yeah. Okay, got you. That's true though, actually, now that you think about it, because we have so many samples from our day, you know,
Yeah.
that we hear now, and that's has like a fresher sound to it, and it's like, you know, we can say now that, oh yeah, back in the day when we used to listen to Joe or we used to listen to so and so, and now we're hearing it again in remixes and samples and music like
Yeah.
our parents and grandparents did. So it's really interesting now, and I feel really old, but that's okay.
Same.
Same. Yeah, you are about to hit the big 3-0, but you know what? You only get wiser rather than older. You're only as old as you feel.
I like that.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. So, I know that you produce like some remixes. We spoke of one, like the Justin Bieber one. Would you say that some of your remixes or some of your like I guess favorite projects to work on, or are you always focused more on the new sound and the new artist that you come across?
For remixes, I just do those for fun.
Ah,
If I
love
hear a
that.
song and I'm like, okay, cool. How can I make this into my own sound? Like, if I were to have produced this song, what would it have sounded like? But with new artists, when I work with them, I usually like make them go through like a little test, like let them record a couple songs, see what their voice sounds like, see where their range is, how far they can sing, and then come up with a sound for them, uniquely for them, where they sound the best in.
Okay, I feel that. Well, it's actually good that you have that balance then, because when you say you do your remixes for fun, as artists, especially you in your position doing it full time, I can imagine that it's hard to find that time to do so. Am I wrong on it?
Not really.
Really?
Sometimes,
Okay.
I make my own schedule at the end of the day, so
Ooh, boss.
if I gotta move some stuff around to work on music, I'll do it because that's my first love.
Y'all better listen to this man. We get so lost in the sauce, and now I'm guilty of it. Of just like, dang, I never made time to just really go scout anymore. This man said, I make my own schedule, and this is what I do. So if I want to work on my art, I will do so. I love that. That gave me goosebumps. I'm inspired. Trust me, I am. I'm definitely inspired on that man. Now, when it comes to the studio setting, I know that there are like different kind of sounds, different type of environments for different type of artists. Do you feel that you create that environment for the artist, or does the artist create the environment that you choose to work in? If that question makes sense.
It's a give and take.
Okay.
Most of the time, when you're working with a new artist or like even an artist in general, you want to make them feel welcome. You don't want to treat them like for me, when I work with anyone, I treat them like a normal person. That's
Okay.
very odd to say, but like even with Mace, I just treat him normally. Like he's just some regular guy.
Sure.
But people appreciate that. They appreciate like the honesty and the constructive criticism instead of someone just saying yes. Like no one likes a yes man. Like they need the constructive criticism because at
Sure.
the end of the day they want their craft to be the best it can be.
No, I get that. And that's dope because I know it can Well, I guess it just really depends on your experience because you've been in it for a minute now. So, you know, anybody comes in that you've been really, you know, who's been ready to work with you, you've been ready to work with them. You kind of keep that professionalism there. And again, you say you treat them like regular people. So that way you can have a good, honest session. But I do have a question, though. Have you ever been, like, starstruck on anybody that you've worked with where it's like, oh, snap, they're coming into there. They're coming to the studio. I can't wait. Have you ever had that experience or do you just – keep it pretty much in line with every artist that you work with?
I haven't had that experience quite yet.
Okay. Got you. Well, that's not bad then. Everybody comes in, they get the same type of love, and they're going to definitely get the best track out because you make sure that you keep that structure going. But it is kind of cool that you do strike a balance because I've only been in a couple of music studios in my day. Nothing like, I wouldn't say like super major, but pretty dope. But it always seems like they catered more to the artist more than anything, unless they were like a really big name, or let's say if it is a big, like a really big name producer, it's like, is their way or the highway. So it's good that you do like strike a balance with that as well in order to make your artist feel comfortable and feel like they trust you. So. Yeah. But let me ask this, with everything that you have going on in the studio, what's next for you? What else do you have cooking up for us that we can indulge in soon?
What's next for me? So for me, we're currently building out the rest of the studio at the moment, structuring it out to the point where when an artist comes in, it's a one-stop shop. We get everything done here. We figure out the whole marketing, the whole rollout plan, and then help them succeed in this career.
Okay. I like that. So pretty much kind of like a, well, I guess like a creative house?
Yes.
Okay. Got you. All right. Well, that is what's up, man. I mean, from your starts with music to some of the frustrations you've had, as in you've developing your craft with learning new systems to building a good relationship out of Guitar Center to really striking your career from going through school and meeting Mace out of school and being able to say, I can do this. And you have proven time and time again that you can, from your team efforts and making sure that everybody's a family. And even until now, just being able to speak with me to just shine light on what you have for the world. Libby, I appreciate you so much for coming on the show tonight. It has been a blast speaking with you.
Thank you. I had a blast speaking with you too, man.
Oh, man. Y'all heard it. He had a blast speaking with me. Y'all better tell somebody. Now, before we close out, man, let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at LIBYV.
LIBYV, you heard it here first, people. That is another episode in the books. This is Blair, but you're my friend, so call me Brock. Thank you for tuning in into Creative Conversations. Again, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just type in Creative Conversations and you'll see my beautiful face. Until next time, you guys stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.
Peace.